Hello, welcome to the big show. Yes, we're following straight on from the Mac show. We have whiskey. It's good. It's 9 p.m. at night, which means that the pub's been open a while. We've had curry as well. Pre-curry, special curry has been had. So over at the Kismet, if you know a fancy coming at the Bash is the 23rd of July. Put it in your diaries because the tickets go on sale in a couple of weeks. And joining me to discuss the week in technology, such as it's been, what a bunch. What an absolute bunch that we have. We have a very tired ex-junior doctor who's going to be a locum tomorrow. Dr. Richard Harkness, how you doing, mate?
Hello, sir. I'm very good, thank you very much.
I think your lighting's awesome, mate, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Yep, it's good. No, so you're not sleeping in the spare room anymore, which is a good sign. and you've got a nice front light as well from the iMac.
Yeah, I guess so.
Excellent, pal. Richard will be talking Yahoo later on, by the way, just in case anyone's in any doubt.
I stick my clip here and no further.
And he has a hard out, which is just before he misdiagnoses someone tomorrow and causes the malpractice suit. And he's thrown off by what was the doctor's thing? General Medical Council, is it? Or
GMC, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's a joke, by the way, if anyone's being diagnosed by Rich tomorrow. Do you know what? So the thing is, right, this is a proper question now, Rich.
Oh, God.
So I've been walking through Wembley Stadium, Victoria Station, Euston Station, and another station that I can't remember. And people have come up to me and gone, Ewan! And they've heard the podcast. Has anyone come in to be diagnosed by you and go, holy crap, you're that bloke off that shit podcast?
Of course they haven't.
Really? No. That's got to have happened.
No, not once.
Really?
Afraid not.
Muller wants
I'd be amazed. I'd be amazed.
I've had a bit of diarrhea for the last couple of weeks, and Muller says I should ask you about my poo, but I'm not going to.
Don't do that.
Because that would be unethical. Oh, that look on Wrighty's face just says it all, doesn't it? Like, can we move on? Can we go to Yahoo before we move?
What colour is it?
Light brown.
Yeah. What's the texture? You know, it's got some weight to it.
It was a bit watery last week, but it's got a bit more solid this morning.
You'll be all right. You'll be fine.
Yeah, no, I just feel a bit drained at the end of a working day. That's all I'm saying. I'll leave it with you, Rich. Don't worry. Next to him, it's our man in Colorado, Jeff. What are you drinking, dude?
I'm drinking a drink that I have no doubt is going to get me some appropriate heckling. It's Earl Grey tea with steamed soybean.
I beg your pardon.
Is it hot?
Define appropriate heckling, Jesus.
On this show, it could be anything.
I'm drinking an Earl Grey, which I like Earl Grey. I'm not saying it's not, but it's made with hot water, not warm milk. And you're making an Earl Grey with warm milk.
It's soy milk. So
I don't remember Picard. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. My mistake. I don't remember Picard standing at the replicator going, Earl Grey, soy milk, lukewarm.
Well, you just missed that episode, didn't you?
Did I? Oh, okay. Fair yeah. enough.
No. Hey, Ewan, so I've been thinking about your diarrhea. And I'm not a doctor, but I have played one on stage before, so I feel totally qualified to help you out with this problem. 3 pots of fluids, as long as it doesn't look like a vampire took a dump in your toilet, you're probably fine. My bill's in the mail.
Muller found that funny.
You're out.
Dude, you rock.
are you free to do my surgery tomorrow, Jeff?
Oh, man alive.
Well, that was a great show. We should just wrap up now.
Yeah, mine is your ranking. Get me at yourranking.com. Oh, Jeff, man. Wow. I'm going to say, actually, you for drinking a Gourlay Earl Grey, you were going to get some piss taking, but not anymore.
Well, yeah, you know, I've got your back, Ewan.
Mate, you are a god in my book. Absolute god. Beneath him. Oh, it's not right east. It's Camps. How you doing, bud?
I'm good, mate.
We're getting together next Wednesday. I'm bringing up a microphone for you, aren't I?
Yeah. Drop in. Cup of tea. Mr. Vodka Kellum.
There's a certain bit of me going, top that, dude. What are you drinking?
I have no comeback on that one.
No. Just leave it alone.
Nothing.
No, just keep the camera up and keep your chins out of it. And last but by no means least, it's Righty Boy!
Hello, mate!
The man who lives in the happiest place to work in the entire UK.
Oh, we is happy. We be well happy.
There's been a survey this week, and Norwich is number one. Two is Liverpool, where no one works anyway, so what's the point of putting them at number two? And three is Birmingham!
That
Birmingham that's got a library that looks like an incinerator for books.
Rubbish.
Unquote Charles. I mean, how happy do you feel, mate? I know it's qualitative, but...
Oh, I'm over the bloody moon, mate. And I get to come here every Thursday night. You can't lose.
But, I mean, now the thing is whether that... Did they survey you, boy? And did they ask you about whether you working for Hot Boss made a difference? Stop doing that with your right hand, mate, because it doesn't look good when I talk about Hot Boss.
Ewan, don't judge.
No, but it just looks inappropriate, mate. That's all I'm saying.
It's a benefit. We'll say that.
It's a benefit. Having a Hot Boss always works.
If I have to...
Keeps you motivated.
My chin's in. Can Paul bring his camera down to fit his big head in?
Oh, there's a bit of sarcasm. Oh, no. I don't remember the Mackens being included at all, Rich, I have to say.
You what? Happy in the same sentence as the word happy?
Happy employees, 1 to 10, mate. I don't see Newcastle in that list.
Well, you see, there's two Mackens, problems with that. It includes Sunderland. The word happy and employee.
Well, yeah, there we go.
So, you know, there's not a lot of employment up here, so... And there's certainly not much happiness either.
and Deck look happy.
So would you be if you had their money.
Tea, Earl Grey, lactose intolerance, says the chat room.
Which is pretty funny.
The Week in Tech, who's got the big story? Who thinks that they know what's going on and what quintessentially defines The Week in Tech? And if Harkness hasn't done a paste already in the chat room, he's going to be sadly mistaken if Jeff steals the Yahoo story.
No, I've totally got this awesome Yahoo story. I'm putting the link in the chat room right now.
Jeff's put his cool in place ocean. What? Jeff, talk us through it.
All right. So Microsoft thinks they have a new way to more efficiently run their servers. And what they want to do is take these tanks that they put the servers in and drop them in the ocean.
Now, I've got to say, out of all the things that Microsoft do, this sounds actually fairly sensible.
It actually does. I mean, when I first heard the news, I was like, oh, great. So now everyone that wants to play Xbox are going to be screwed because every time they go to load a new update, the servers will be flooded, literally. But this idea actually sounds pretty cool because it's a much more efficient way of keeping the temperature down on the servers. And once these tanks are put in the water, they can stay there on the ocean floor for a few years and just run. And deploying them is pretty simple. You know, they load up the servers in the tank ahead of time, take their barge or the great ship Microsoft or whatever they have. They probably sail in an iceberg or something. But anyhow, they take that out to wherever the servers are going to be in the water and drop them down in, and they will be close enough to the shore so that they could strategically plant these pods or tanks around areas where they have really high traffic and then have servers closer to those high traffic areas. It sounds like a smart idea.
5 years or something, Jeff, they're good for, something like that?
Yeah, 3 years, 5 years, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. And then apparently the future-proofing them, trying to put sort of technology that's ahead of the game in them so that they're good for the time that they're down there for.
Which makes sense.
Yeah, 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 it's cool. I was hearing as well, because one of the things that I thought about, and apparently other people obviously have thought about, is whether there's any environmental impact off them. I don't know what you heard about that, but I think they said that if there was any heat transference, it was just very localized to where the servers are sitting.
I would have thought the hum would have been an issue. The vibrations would be more issue than the heat, because the heat would dissipate very, very quickly. That's the whole point of putting them in the sea.
And it takes a lot more energy to change the temperature of water than it does to change the temperature of air. So the amount of heat these would be generating and putting into the ocean around them would probably be pretty negligible. So yeah. I'm guessing that's not going to be an issue, but other environmental issues, like what if one of these things springs a leak and fills up with water? Are there going to be chemicals from the servers inside that could pose a problem to the environment? Or,
just revert to a blue screen. Is that what you say, Camp?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
The blue wave screen of death.
That's right. It sounds like Microsoft has been doing some environmental impact research to go along with this plan. And they've done some testing, and so far everything seems okay. And I guess we'll see how well that scales up.
Well, there's a lot of me here who's desperately trying to think of a way of taking the piss of this, but actually it sounds fairly sensible, because, I mean, there's a comment in the chat room that maybe actually that if any of these failed, they could wash up on the shore like beached whales and be slowly pushed back in by the servers of people that are watching on. But actually, you know, you want to float these things in. You've got hydro electricity through wave motion that could help power the servers. Mm-hmm. The only thing that would bother me would be the acoustic elements rather than the thermal elements, no?
Yeah, I can see where that could potentially be an issue. And one thing that I haven't looked into yet is what are these going to be pressurized with? So can they use an inert gas that maybe doesn't conduct sound as well? And of course, that wouldn't address just the harmonic vibration of the computers connected to the frames that they're in, connected to the shell that they're in.
Are these solid state storage or disk?
I would hope they're solid state, because what do you do when you get 6 months in and you start having physical hard drives crashing?
Yeah, because if they're solid state, then they shouldn't make any noise, really. I wouldn't have thought. And if you've got the ocean to cool them, you're going to get very little heat, so that should be near silent, I would have thought.
Well, I'm assuming that there's going to be some sort of air circulation system inside the tank, so that the cooler air, which will be towards the outside, can be pushed in towards the core, so that you get even cooling throughout the entire canister.
Mm.
But other than that, as long as you're doing everything solid state, I can't imagine that there would be much noise.
Are we actually sure there are servers in these capsules? Are they not just full of Windows phones that they want to dump?
They're all rigged in parallel.
That's what it is.
Might have bought some off some leftover Amazon phones as well, maybe.
Yeah, and I guess that would be a smarter way to go than what Apple did with all the Lisa computers, where they had to go in and find a secret landfill in Utah. This would be harder for people to get to and dig up.
Yeah, so there you go.
Maybe this is about it. Dumping Windows phones.
No, I mean, I used to stay in a hotel in London, and one of the guys that used to stay there regularly, I used to talk to at the bar, his firm actually used to do up to 9 terabyte solid-state drives.
Wow.
And they were I mean, they were a lot of money to buy, make no mistake. But, yeah, that's the kind of thing that would be involved in this kind of process, I'm guessing.
How long ago was that, Ewan?
I haven't stayed there for a year and a half now, and the last time I probably saw him was 2 years ago, so...
So the thing's about moved up even more than that since then.
Yeah, I mean, his company used to do... they did storage and database systems, and so for example, they did the RAF and Army database for the what's the Black Hawk kind of version of the helicopter that the UK use? I can't remember, but they used to do
Apache?
The No. The Black Hawk is like the personnel carrier version.
Yeah, right.
But they used to do those, and they did the database for them. And he was saying that, you know, so they track the hours on the rotations of the blades and that kind of stuff using their databases. And they used to install these 9 terabyte solid state drives that they created. But the problem that he always said that they came across was writing. So it was about 1,100 writes to the disk, and you'd start to get errors would appear. So. Mm. That issue, I think, is one of the things that dogs SSDs is the fact of writing to it. I don't know whether I think storing in the story that I'm thinking about with temperature is going to be negligible, because I think that the ocean is an innately cold place anyway, so therefore the willingness to want to be at the same temperature as what's around you will be very easily controlled by that. I think the humming from the electrical currents that go through it may be an issue, but who knows? You might find a few more beached whales in areas where these are.
Yeah, but they'll have killer solid state drives with them when they hit the shore.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all that matters.
Boats.
Dr. Rich, you've put your link in the chat room. You want to talk about Yahoo.
There's not much Yahoo in the news for them this week.
Go on, talk us through it.
There was just an interesting piece on LinkedIn from, where's the guy's name? The senior editor, entitled, "Was There Any Ever Hope for Yahoo?" Which I thought was quite a good, it was quite nicely written piece. Yahoo are still having a very, very tough time. They've had to lay off even more staff this week, I think numbering in the thousands. Their share price has dipped a little bit. And if you look at the long-term trend for Yahoo's share price, it's just steadily declining month by month. It's picked up a bit since this story, but the long-term trend is it's going down. And... Marissa Myers basically kind of said she's open to any kind of approaches and doesn't exclude the possibility of selling some of Yahoo's property, their web properties. So the web side of Yahoo may disappear potentially if somebody decides to buy it out.
I mean, realistically, are we talking about the one to be avoiding is Flickr, because that's the one that people would be cared about. Otherwise, they wouldn't give a toss about Yahoo, I would have thought.
Is it Flickr and Tumblr at Yahoo?
Tumblr as well, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They haven't bought anything successful, really. You know, this piece is suggesting that they bought Tumblr at a time when other companies were kind of giving away that platform for free, so... didn't make an awful lot of sense at the point that they bought it at. But there's an interesting graph on there that surprised me. It says the US's top digital media properties of October 2015, and Yahoo was the third rated one, with 210 million users across all of Yahoo's sites. So I was quite staggered by that. I wonder
what percentage of that is Flickr.
Hmm.
And mail as well, because mail is huge.
Yeah, apparently people are still using Yahoo Mail.
Yeah.
But you just kind of feel like it's one of those companies that's in a slow decline. And really, much as she was maybe quite positive when she came in and had quite a lot of drive, she doesn't seem to have done anything to turn the company around, particularly other than slash its budget and lay off a lot of people, which maybe that's what's needed. But, you know, they haven't come out with anything killer to make Yahoo stand out, really.
So here's the thing. I put this forward as a genuine question.
Yeah.
I like analogies. So let's go the Star Trek movie where Riker and Picard separate the Enterprise, and the saucer element, Riker kind of pilots into a crash landing on the planet. Mm. I have no clue which one that is.
I remember the film. I can't think which
Generations. One Star Trek Generations.
That's it. So, I don't care which one it is. It doesn't matter to the question. The question is Marissa Meyer the girl that pilots the already descending saucer, or is Marissa Meyer the girl that says, let's separate it from the main Enterprise?
She's maybe the one that separates it, but she's in the one that's crashing, I think.
See, that's my point. Is Marissa Meyer piloting the hospital ball, or is Marissa Meyer the invention of the hospital ball? And I've got to say, before I get any emails that give me a good kicking for this, I fundamentally feel fairly sorry for her, that the fact that it seems like she's taking an awful lot of a kicking. And we said this a few weeks ago, I feel very sorry for her, that she's going to have the demise, that the gravestone of Yahoo will forever be on her CV.
Yeah. Is there a challenge though, Ewan, that actually what she should have done is probably spotted this some time ago and broken up probably the company into its profitable arms and dumped what wasn't performing months ago?
Is there a question about what she was allowed to do at that point as well, though, in what she took over for Jerry Yang and the you know, okay, that's fine. And she's probably sitting there looking at it, perhaps with an analytical eye, going, do you know what, we'd be better off if we broke this up into separated corporations and flogged it off at 2.5 billion per corporation, as opposed to sitting here and trying to pilot a dead ship into a planet. I don't know, there's an open question there. I'm not wishing to preface anyone's answer, but I'm sitting thinking to myself, whenever I look at the Marissa Meyer and Yahoo epitome, she took it on, everyone went yay, she could have got all the venture capital she wanted, she could have, like, everyone was pumped because it was Melissa, Marissa, but when it comes down to it, actually, she hasn't saved this organisation. I don't know whether she could have done, but, you know, when it comes down to it, her CV is always going to say that, yeah, you did a great job at Google, but you actually piloted Yahoo into the ground.
She was more of a star hire, I think. I think there was more of a boost in ratings for Yahoo more than someone who'd save it, because they've tried loads of things. They've tried, like, entertainment. You know, they've not really done anything with Flickr. They've left Tumblr alone. Like, if you go back to the Star Trek analogy, I think she's on the saucer that's crashing to the ground, but she's got this wonderful escape pod that's going to get her out, because she's going to walk out of this smelling of roses financially. Yes, she's going to have it on her CV, and that's probably something that she isn't going to, you know, she's going to regret, but she's not going to come out of this too badly, really.
I don't think that's what motivates her. I don't think gives a shit about how much money she takes out of it.
I think I read somewhere she's got something like a $30 million exit plan or something like that. So she's, yeah, no matter what happens, she's doing well out of this. But I think I agree with you, and that's not going to be her driver at all. I want to be careful what I say here. I think a little bit as a male, but I imagine maybe she feels some pressure as well as being such a high profile woman in tech, you know.
She's been under
that position.
An unfair microscope ever since she took the job. I mean, like, she was being asked questions and about being pregnant and running a company and having children and running a company. That's and you don't see men getting those same questions tossed at them. And so I think in many ways she's been unfairly judged. And I'm wondering, if we go back to the Star Trek analogy, is she the person that let the Enterprise, or led the Enterprise into a place where they had to crash the saucer section, or is she the person that was able to run up to the control panel and safely guide what was left of the ship down so that as many people as possible could be saved.
I hope it's that, Jeff.
Well, I think we're past that. That's my point. I think the sort of section's already scraping up a bit of dust.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But did she give their saucer section a safe crash landing, or did she drive it into the ground?
I tell you what, it's going to make an interesting book at some point, isn't it? Because what we don't know at this point is whether she's gone to the board at some point and said, look, guys, you know, we need to bail. We need to sell lots of things right now if we're going to try and save things. And they may have turned around and said, hell no, you're not doing that. You know, we don't know, do we?
I mean, there's facts that you can't change. That since Marissa Meyer took over, nearly 50% of the staff aren't there. And that's either through the fact that they've left or the fact that they've been laid off.
Mm.
And if you wipe out 50% of the people that are on your side, there's got to be a reason for that. And okay, some of those are the people that there is not enough money to sustain your income, therefore, I'm sorry, we're going to have to let you go. Mm-hmm. But the whole, I'm sorry, hang on, you're not working from home anymore. You've either got to be in the office or you've got to be away. That was a big factor. And that alienated a lot of people, and a lot of people left because of that, never mind the driving away from.
Now, and how many of those people that left because they were being told they had to come work in the office were essentially chaff because they weren't being productive when working at home, and they had an easy way to be able to get away with it because they didn't have a direct supervisor looking over their shoulder?
Could be, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm sure she probably got rid of a lot of people that weren't needed, which, you know, you need to do that, don't you? But you just, I think maybe they needed a really bold plan to get them out of this, or bail and sell things early. And if I feel like she's been struggling to try and make the company relevant again and not succeeded.
Chat room's chipping in already. Muller says demise of Flickr would worry me. That was what I really enjoyed as a pro service. Yahoo's been going down for years, he says, as well as a horse has said, I don't think anyone would give her a bad press for the downfall of Yahoo, as it had a falling profile before she even joined. However, if it is that she'd caused the demise of the company, that's different. Star Trek analogy, she is the soft landing, he thinks.
You know, I think it doesn't matter what role Marissa plays in the outcome of Yahoo. The fact that she's CEO right now and the fact that she's a woman is going to, it's going to get her bad press. And it's total crap that she's going to get bad press in part because she's a woman. That should have no bearing on this, but we live in a crappy world where people do that.
Does this say a lot about Marissa in terms of she's either going to try and continue to take the challenge on and she's too resistant to let that go because she wants to be the one to turn it around to prove that women in these senior high profile roles can manage companies and can turn them around when they're in, well, virtual collapse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Is it pride that stops her saying, actually, board, you're not letting me do what I need to do. You can't let me run this company how I need to get it back on track, and therefore bye.
She's kind of in a tough position no matter which way she does it, isn't she, really?
Well, with the going back to Star Trek, this is like a Kobayashi Maru for her.
No, so much. Let me ask you another question. Let me say, given all things being equal, at the point that Marissa Meyer was appointed, if you'd have offered the job to Meg Whitman, would she have taken it? And I got to say, I don't think Meg would. I think she would have looked at it and gone, you know what, this is a poison chalice. She's got too many years behind her. She understands too many elements of what was being offered to her. And Marissa took it because it was like, I've gone from being the person that's done well at Google, which is what's got me this opportunity, which is what's got the job offer, and I'm going to take it no matter what. But actually, someone like Meg Whitman, who's already had those great opportunities, and he's a little bit older and a little bit wiser, would have gone, no, that's a poison chalice, mate. So I'm not touching it.
Hmm.
And I don't think Med Whitman would have touched CEO of Yahoo at that point. And I think Marissa, unfortunately, has been guilty of taking it on because it was the opportunity to make a name for herself. And that could have backfired really badly. And I feel really sorry for her in the process, but it could well have.
Yep, that's a possibility too. And Meg Whitman, she has the life experience of seeing what a horrible mess HP was in when she went in there, and seeing what HP was like, and she's been able to keep the company afloat. I'm sure she was able to look at Yahoo and think, oh man, this is way worse than what I took on.
Well, I think to a certain degree, Meg Whitman is piloting the saucer section into the planet as well as, but she's got corporate she's on the board of Procter & Gamble and so on as well, which shows far more. You know, Marissa's eggs are in one basket, I think.
Yeah, that's true. And Meg, she may have ordered the saucer separation, but it doesn't mean that the saucer's going to crash land. It could be that she's separated at the right time so that they'll be able to get an emergency rescue from Starfleet before they crash.
Horse in the chat room says, if Kelly was on this show, she'd be agreeing with Jeff and going thermonuclear by now.
True.
What do we think? What do we think is next for Marissa then? I think my personal bet is she'll start her own company.
I don't know.
I don't know what she'll do with it, but I think that's what she'll do next.
My question would be, what's still in the Yahoo portfolio that would still make money for them? Tumblr makes a shitload of money. There's no question. Or no, it doesn't make a shitload of money. It gets a shitload of hits. And Flickr is a valuable resource that everyone depends upon to an nth degree. I don't think they've monetized that because you get 1 terabyte free of charge for registering an account. So where's the money going to come from? At least when they had £24.95 per month or per year, whatever it was, to have a professional account on Flickr, they got some money from it. Tumblr is just chock full of porn and GIFs and Pinterest level interest stuff. So where's the money coming?
There's porn on Tumblr? Hold on. I have to do a search real quick.
I think if you add anything that you fancy, you take any proclivity that you've got, Jeff, and I don't want you to say what they are, just add Tumblr on the end of that, and you'll find a GIF that associates with that.
Yeah. Well, we're about to find out.
No, we're not. We're really not. I haven't got a bleep time. but the point is that Tumblr and Flickr are hugely popular. They've acquired those because they were hugely popular. And the problem would be then that they're not making any money from them, so they're going to walk away from them. In which case, well, what's the point of having them in the first place? And I think that's the problem that they're at, is that, you know, what have you got that makes money? Because it ain't search no more. It ain't adverts no more.
No, they lost the search game. I mean, this article argues that
they sold out their search game
by backing out of search.
Yeah, no, I just...
I totally walked over you. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah, so I was just saying that the article, one of the things the article says is perhaps... positing they should not have backed out of the search war with Google.
I think that was a horrible mistake.
I think the one thing, if you let's just get a bit of nostalgia here, and let's go back to the days of when you ran a search on Netscape or when you ran a search on WebCrawler, you got, or Alta Vista, going back to the dial-up days, you know, you got different
good times.
You know, you put in a search criteria and you got different replies. And that was the deviation that Yahoo could have separated. They could have said, you know, you can go on Google and you can get the popular replies, or you can go on Yahoo and get the accurate replies. They could have come up with this idea of the fact that actually the people that got replies in Yahoo got more of what they were looking for than Google got. Because it's certainly true that if you look on Google, I mean, you can go out and you can type British tech in Google and we'll be first on the reply list. But then after that, we'll probably be page 3 or 4 after the first one.
Yeah.
And that's kind of ridiculous when you've searched British tech. Whereas, you know, like I said, you go back to Alta Vista, WebCrawler, Netscape, you knew that if you went to a different search engine in that era, in the, I'm talking 95 to 99, you got a different response for every search engine that you polled. And that's where Yahoo haven't solved the problem, because they could have gone down the, we're different from Google. They've tried to compete directly with Google. They were going to lose straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
How many people have gone to webcrawler.com since?
Is it even there? Hell?
I'm just going to it now.
I have is it still a thing?
Webcrawler, yes. It's still a thing.
Webcrawler?
Webcrawler.com.
Oh, God, it is.
But search results are powered by
Google.
Google and Yahoo.
Well, and Yahoo.
Which means it's really Google and Bing.
And I'm now going to Alta Vista. And Alta Vista is powered by
Google.
Yahoo.
Yahoo.
Yeah, it should be powered by
See, that's the thing is, you had that chance to show that you were different and you didn't take it. And now it's too late.
So, but Bing haven't been able to do it either, though, have they, really?
No, but I don't think Bing tried to show that they were different. Mm. They tried to take Google on head-to-head, and they were never going to manage that because Google is too powerful. You've got to say, right, how many times have you gone to Google and not got what you're looking for? You type in certain criteria in Google and say the exact name that you want, and you can't get a result that you know exists. It's three or four or five pages in before you find the existing result that you want. YouTube is the same. So the niche is to go for, we provide the results that you want, not the results that Google want.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that part of the idea behind DuckDuckGo? Also anonymous searching.
You'd like to think, but
you'd like to work? Think. Sure.
Does that even work?
Well, I mean, you definitely get different results. So there's that.
What engine does that run on?
They have their own engine.
.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
The search engine that doesn't track you.
But Google went on the mindshare thing, because if you talk to anyone nowadays, they don't search for things on this. They Google things, don't they? You Google stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the mindshare that Google won over Yahoo. Don't Yahoo things. Don't Bing things. You Google things. And they just didn't have that marketing clout behind them to, even if they had made it different, they wouldn't have been able to make that mindshare change.
They've really got to be able to, if anyone's going to try and capture some of that back, they've really got to be able to do something different and make it that it works every time. You know, and I think the Google have won that market so well, but I don't see anyone else getting back into it.
I agree. I think it's way too far down the line now. So it's got to be fundamentally different to win anything back from Google.
That's the point. It's got to be fundamentally different, and that's what Marissa's not alighted to. She's tried to be the same. She's tried to take them on face-to-face, and she's losing. She's always going to lose in that. Good story, Rich. Well done, mate. Totally good. Who's got a story for us?
I've just chucked one in, you.
Oh, Camp's beat you, righty boy.
I know. Good man.
Good so... man.
Microsoft buys UK AI firm SwiftKey.
I'm sure most of us around here have used SwiftKey keyboards on our iPhones or Android devices. So this week, Microsoft have continued their recent trend of buying productivity companies, and they bought UK-based SwiftKey for $250 million. So I'm reading this, and it's... It sort of purports to it in a lot of the various articles that are running on it, that SwiftKey is absolutely going to continue to be developed. It's going to continue to run the platforms that it is now. I'm sure Microsoft will probably look to embed it within phones, etc. But I think the key thing here with this purchase is actually the engine that and the intelligence that SwiftKey is built on, and how. Microsoft are probably going to use that and build it into Cortana, into various elements of search within. SwiftKey is part of the engine that drives the communication system that Stephen Hawking voice system works on. So there's an awful lot of intelligence in
terms must be good.
Language prediction in there. I know that we've talked about SwiftKey on shows before in terms of not necessarily being impressed with it. But I've started using it this week after seeing this story, and actually I think it's probably improved somewhat, certainly in terms of the prediction of the future words that you're looking to do to build your sentences up when you're texting and when you're emailing. And it sounds like Microsoft sounds like they're onto a bit of a winner here from an AI point of view.
Well, let me just preface that with a comment that Muller's made in the chat room. And if you ever get a link in the chat room, go to britishtechnetwork.com/chat and check out the 4th of February, and you'll find all the links of all of the stories that we've dealt with right there. Never, ever, 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 ever click, you can hear the groan in the background, click on a link that Muller's put in there because it's not work safe. But he's put down Microsoft's own keyboard is better than SwiftKey.
Wordflow.
And I've got to say, I've had SwiftKey on my iPhone when I moved over to the iPhone 6, and I dumped it because it was shit.
Yeah, so did I.
I don't think. I think this is them buying something that they think's cool when actually it's not. It's just a piece of shit that's going to crumble.
Yeah, but also Microsoft's just released their keyboard on iOS as well.
Is it? Yeah. And it's not based on SwiftKey.
No. It's the workflow keyboard. It's now on iOS, so they're porting that already, and now they're buying SwiftKey. So it really makes you wonder what they're doing.
So
like you're saying, must be some bit.
Sounds like they're going to keep the keyboard running, right. But actually, is it just the engine that they want? Purely the engine.
Mm. Yes, it must be something in the engine that they want to own.
Is it? I mean, you're saying that it's got better, Chris. Is it the better that they've bought?
I've used it, like I say, over the last 2 days now, and I dumped it as well. I just went back to the standard iOS keyboard. So picked it up again this week since I saw this story and started having a little play with it. And it probably took about half a day. I used it on my iPad, sort of exclusively for typing emails and stuff. And after about an hour and a half of using, solidly knocking out emails from a work point of view, I noticed that the prediction in terms of the next word coming up was starting to get better. Maybe I never gave it a proper try first time, so improvement that I'm saying is based on using it, in earnest for a few hours. But definitely saw the predictive words coming up starting to improve over the time that I've used it.
Well, I mean, I did the same. I had it on my Android phone, and I got rid of it because I thought the Google one was just as good as it, really. And then it saves the hassle of installing an extra keyboard and stuff, so... but I think with SwiftKey you can, you know, if I remember rightly, you can help it to learn, can't you? By if you do a long press on suggestions that it brings up that you don't want, I think if you do a long press on that word, you can then sort of reject it, and it won't put it up as often for you.
So one of the things that's coming up in the chat room quite repeatedly is the fact that this has been purchased for the purposes of killing the opposition.
Yeah.
But Microsoft does have a track record.
They do that, don't they?
No.
Of course, they also have a history of getting in trouble for that, too.
Lots of trouble.
Yeah.
I've got to say, yeah. I'm quite quietly impressed with the way Microsoft are going. I think they're making themselves relevant again.
Yeah, I think Microsoft has been making some really good, really positive changes,
yeah.
and is innovating in ways that they I don't think they were capable of doing when Steve Ballmer was running the company.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah, I think it's more that they realize that their services aren't just for Windows users. The fact they've reached out and a lot of their services on platforms such as iOS are better on iOS than they are on Windows. So I think, you know, I'm a OneDrive user. I've got OneDrive, Office 365 for work. I've got personal OneDrive, and I'll have that over Dropbox or any other service. And you know, this week I found out that the sync client for Mac, Office 365 for Business, is like a full product now. It's brilliant. You know, Microsoft are really good now at working out that you don't just have to have Windows to have Office and all that sort of thing. They can actually sell things on other products.
Is there a scenario, so to rule out the keyboard here, maybe that's a bit of a byproduct, and kind of go back to the engine and thinking about how it's been incorporated for Stephen Hawking's voice technology? Is it really just the prediction engine here that it can predict upcoming words, and is it a way of making Cortana better?
I just want to read out. This is breaking, right? This is cutting edge right here. We've been approached by Jabber. If you go to jabber.com, they've got a feed that basically lets you broadcast multiple things, and you can collaborate and broadcast on iOS. We've had issues around how we're going to get the panelists in compared to everyone else in and still manage to broadcast. We're going to manage that next week. We've sussed out the audio thing. We've been working with Ryan over at Jabber to figure this out. But there's some great comments coming in from already. We're just doing a test broadcast tonight, and people are coming in with some comments already on Jabber. Hot Topic, Swift Key, Stell_K saying, I read that they wanted the team and believe that the AI can be used for so much more than it already is, which is why they've bought them. And Olga Carter says, brilliant.
Cool.
We're in, Olga. We will be fully live next week, and we'll have the whole thing broadcast. There'll be a camera behind me here that'll be out of shot, and it'll broadcast everything that's going on the screen. You'll have all the audio from everyone that comes on the panel, and me as well. As you'll have the back of me, Ed, but no one will see the front. Jesus Christ. you'll get the whole show on Jabber. So if you want to go to jabber.com, we'll be broadcasting on jabber.com as well as. We've just done a trial broadcast this week, so there you go. But I think some great points there. You know, it's the AI that Microsoft are after. But the only thing in my head is saying, well, hang on, you know, go back to Muller's comment, abhorrent as that may sound. He says, no, actually, their predictive tech stuff is actually fairly good already anyway. It must be just clearing out the competition. No?
I don't think so. I think there's something from the point of Cortana or something along those lines. And they're looking to bulk up the engine that sits behind all that.
I think they'll do that, but I definitely think they'll kill SwiftKey at some point as well.
They'll get what they want from it, keyboard. Strip it out bare, and then they'll be left over with what they need. But it's whether that SwiftKey have got enough. But, I mean, if Microsoft really think they have, then they clearly must have.
Well, keep in mind, something like this, a purchase like this, can be more than just the intellectual property that they get today. This could also be about the talent that comes with the company. And they may want the engineers behind the technology to work on other projects.
Keep improving what they've currently got.
Mm-hmm.
Good on. Last story, who's got it? Is it Righty?
Here you go.
Good man.
And it's on our site.
Yeah, no nepotism here then.
Well, have you heard of the Fine Brothers?
Oh, mate, they're in a pile of shit this week.
Jesus Christ. I started writing about this earlier in the week when this came out. So if you don't know who the Fine Brothers are, they're responsible for a lot of the React videos you see online. So elders react to stuff, teens react to stuff. But
Old Septic Eye is one of theirs, isn't he?
Yeah. So they put content in front of people and they filmed their reaction. Now, they thought that we're doing really well on this, and I'm sorry, but if you have a reaction, or if you see something, you have a reaction, and you film it, you can put it on YouTube. But they then decided that they were doing so well that they'd create their own kind of social network kind of thing called React World. And they said that if you want to make reaction videos, you could then go to their site, sign up, they'd give you the expertise and the help and support you need to make reaction videos, and of course they'll make some of the profit that you're going to make. And that really didn't go down too well with a lot of YouTubers, especially in the fact that they just started taking down other YouTubers' React videos. So they have a company called Full Screen Incorporated, and they started taking down YouTubers' videos. And that was met with like a huge kind of backlash from YouTubers. Mm. So they were reacting to the React videos, saying, well, I'm sorry, but you can't own a format. And then when you delved into it deeper, it turned that they're trying to trademark the word React and anything to do with anything reacting. You know, they're trying to trademark it. And then they came back and they said, oh, well, no, you don't understand. We're not trying to copyright the reaction format. You know, we're saying if we've got a place, if you want to come, you can come here and we'll give support. It's like rubbish. You're not. You're trying to license out the React format and try to make money out of it.
Yeah.
And it's got to a point this week where they've now backed down. They said, like, okay, React Worlds is a dead thing. We've revoked all of our trademarks. But the thing you think about, they're really setting a dangerous precedent, because if this was a successful thing, you could have people saying, okay, I own the copyright on all cat videos. And as content, you know, mm-hmm. you and as yourself, as a content maker, if someone said, you know, turned around and said, you know, the panel show on a podcast, I own that. If you want to make one, I'm going to charge you for it.
You've got to pay,
that would destroy so much content, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And it's such a dangerous precedent to set.
Yeah, we're going to have that.
Well, we get a few things that come through here periodically. We had one that was Kyle Swagger broke a story on the news about hoverboards bursting into flames, and he broke the story and referenced the source that he got it from. And we had the people who originally broke the story write to us and say, either you reference us or we'll file a DMCA takedown and you'll take the content down. I'm like, you don't own the content of a board taking off, and if you ever threaten us again, I'll be round there with a cricket bat and I'll shove it up your nightdress, mate, because I'm sorry. You have absolutely no right to do that to us, and I take that extremely negatively. I got a letter of apology back from them. So,
excellent.
They were good about it, I have to say. And we would quite happily have referenced them if they'd just written to us, said, look, we wrote it originally. Here's the link to where we wrote it originally. Would you mind referencing us? We'd have gone, yeah, no worries. But it was the take it down or you're screwed. No, yeah. I'm really not, because I am in the UK and I don't give a shit what you say, because DMC doesn't apply here. And and actually, you're an offensive twat. And that's the greater part of it all. And the same thing applies with this. No question. You know, it's like, here's what we want. And I looked at the video. I watched the video about the kind of the climb down, the U-turn, if you like, of what the guys wrote. And it was just like, no, that's not what we ever meant. Yeah, righto, mate. You tried to do a land grab and it f***ed up and you're in deep shit. Go on, Jeff.
If I ever need a negotiator, I want it to be you.
He's a man.
That's right. Just show up with your cricket bat and Mr. Gamut, we need to talk about this. And I'll say, here's my representative.
I think even turned up with a cricket bat waving in that dress, that definitely would stop most arguments.
Cricket bat shoving up your nightdress. No, that goes back. I've got to give credit to that line to Simon Mayo, I have to say. Stick a cricket bat up your nightdress. But I don't stand for trolls, I have to say. And if anyone trolls us, I always bite back. And I've always found that I grew up on a rugby field, so if someone punches you, you punch him back, otherwise you're getting it all afternoon. And I can't be doing with the touchy-feely stuff of, you know, I have to speak to that person and understand what their angst is. Bollocks, smack them, because then they won't smack you anymore, and that's the end of it. It's done and dusted. Sorry if that doesn't fit with everyone, but that's the way it works. Mm-hmm. That's life.
Hmm.
The base fundamental human instinct is aggression. Deal with it at a base level, then you'll solve your problems. So that's not saying I go out and smack everyone that I meet in the street, but you know, if you bring me some shit, you're going to get some back. And if you don't like it, well, you shouldn't have brought it. Sorry. So it's a comment that I referenced this week on the Mac show. There you go. We've had some reviews, actually. No, we haven't. That's the wrong one.
Okay. We could make some up.
There we go. So everyone said, right, they said that the show was brilliant.
Of course they did.
Super.
And they were right.
My story is Three Networks. How many people here are on the Three Network?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Muller's got his hand up over the back here. Rich?
Yep.
Jeff, not?
Nope. We don't have three in the United States.
Who are three network? So how many people have read the story that three are doubling their prices?
Yes.
Holy crap. So they got consultants from the United States and said you should charge people unfair prices.
So, I mean, I'm going to go reference back to the Slack room here because Phil in the Slack room actually contacted Three Network and asked them, you know, what on earth are you talking about? And I am paraphrasing here because I can't find it fast enough. But he said that he spoke to Three Network and Three said, hang on, you know, we're not doubling the prices of everything. If you've got a tethering contract and if you don't abuse it, we're not that bothered with you. You only have to worry if you get the email that says or the text that says you need to upgrade your contract. Now, if you want to maintain your untethered contract, your no limitation on tethering, rather, and no limitation on data, then you're going to have to pay £30 per month. Otherwise, you can remain at the £15 per month. If you don't get that email or that text, then you don't have to worry so much. And the reason we've done this is because of people who've got an untethered contract and they're downloading 100 gigabytes a month tethered on their iPhone. Yep. And they're slowing it down for everyone else. Unquote what Phil typed in our Slack room. And I looked at that and I was like, whoa, hang on a second. Because if someone's downloading 100 gigabytes a month, they aren't slowing down the network because that's not bandwidth. Bandwidth is number of users. It's not quantity of data that's consumed. Actually, Three Network, what you're doing here is trying to get rid of a few users because actually you can't limit the amount of speed that you're getting to each user based on removing the people that are using high quantities of data because high quantities of data is not bandwidth. High quantities of data is just you own a Ferrari and you're still doing 5 miles an hour down a congested M6. You may have a Ferrari, but tough shit, you're still doing 5 miles an hour down a congested M6 next to the bloke in the Fiat Panda who isn't consuming as much data, but he's still getting the same amount. So this is about users. And I just think, how many times are we going to get total horseshit from suppliers of broadband facilities telling us that broadband is slowed down by mega users when it really isn't. It's slowed by a number of users and their inability to expand the friggin' network.
And it's going to be a small amount of users as well, though.
No. It's not about small amount. If I've got 1,000 cars on the M6, they still get miles of road per second at the same rate as everyone else. If I've got 10, they might be able to travel a bit faster, but they still get miles of road per second at the same as everyone else on that roadway. Bandwidth has got nothing to do with the amount that you download. Bandwidth is to do with the rate at which you download it. The problem that Three have got is that they've got too many users because they had a deal that was too good that they can't then fulfill.
Yeah, and this happens so often. It's so many service providers oversell, and they do it intentionally because they're operating under the idea that not everyone uses all that's available to them all the time. So you don't need to have enough infrastructure to support every single user taking full advantage of it at the same time. You need to have enough so that you can handle what you think your average load's going to be.
But the number of the amount that they take is irrelevant.
Right. But yeah, so the number of users they expect to have at any given time, not the amount of data they expect those people
to have. I have a pipe and I can fit a certain number of people down that pipe. I sold 1.5 times the number of people that can fit down that pipe, but screw it, I'm still going to charge everyone the same rate for shoving them down the pipe even though they don't fit. That's right. What Three Network have done. It is not that there is one big bloke who is blocking the pipe up. That is utter frigging bollocks. And I'm sorry,
that's what they tell
Ofcom,
everyone,
you should not be allowing Three Networks to tell us this utter frigging bollocks.
Is it not the same story that all the networks pipe, though?
Oh, sure.
No, I don't have a problem with the fact that they've been shit at managing their business, Rich. What I have a problem with is the fact that they're telling us that there's one bloke blocking up the pipe when it's utter bollocks. It's got nothing to do with some blokes that's doing 100 gig a month down his iPhone. It's to do with the fact you oversold the package that you first warranted out to the network.
No, I get
and I'm sure they oversold it on purpose. Because networks do
Time. Hang on, Jeff. Rich, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I understand your point. I'm just saying, I don't think they're alone in blowing that trumpet. I'm sure I've heard that kind of thing coming from other networks as well.
You've heard it from all sorts of providers talking about people filling doorways, and it's got nothing to do with it.
And it's not the first time they've done it, Ewan. About, it's probably going back about 18 months ago now, me and my wife, both on three, had exactly the same contract. That contract was about £12 a month. It was unlimited data on a rolling 30-day contract. It was something along the lines of 500 or 600 minutes, unlimited text, unlimited data. And about 18 months ago, I got a letter and an email through saying that the tariff was changing, no longer available, and therefore these are my options. I think my payment went up from something like £12 a month to £15. My voice minutes dropped. I kept my unlimited data, but they said they were going to give me tethering at something like 1 or 2 gig a month because the tariff was being retired. Interestingly, my wife never got that contact. Now, she's a very low user, very, very low data. It was just at that time, that was the best tariff available to her. And she's still using that tariff now. So that tariff never got retired. It can't be. She's still only paying £12 a month. But I was shifted off it, like I say, probably going back about 18 months ago now. So I'm not a massive heavy data user in terms of 3 and 4G because I use Wi-Fi at work, I use Wi-Fi at home. It'll be interesting. I'm just waiting for the contact now to see if they're going to change this tariff again.
But not everyone's getting it. That's the thing.
That's the point.
The high users are the only ones that are getting it, in inverted commas, the bandwidth hogs, which aren't. But it just annoys me that the sugar that's being sold to everyone is the bandwidth hog, which is absolute. I mean, why Ofcom are still letting businesses lie to us about the bandwidth hog amazes me.
Yeah.
The problem that they've got is that their pipe was too popular, says Ian in the chat room. I rest my case.
You know, you can only use your pipe so much. Try as you might.
Yep. Sending things down your pipe has to end in tears at some point.
Yep.
Moving on, eh? I thought it'd be a discussion, but obviously you guys all agree with me, so, which is great. This podcast and all the others is brought to you by UK2. How good are they? Chaps, if you haven't bought a site from UK2, you haven't lived. They're awesome. Go to britishnetwork.com/UK2 if you just want to sign into your account, or go to /sponsors and you'll get all the offer codes that are in there for reduction of your basket. You can get like 20% off your basket, which is incredible from UK2. And Jeff's sitting there going, okay, I'll switch off at this point in the podcast. Doesn't matter. If you're in Colorado, you can still buy from UK2. They'll do the exchange rate whole thing. You'll still get the great deals that they offer. You'll still get the great support that they offer. We've had a couple of issues over the years where the server's gone down or things haven't worked smoothly. We're talking like half a dozen instances in 8 years of support. And when we've rung them up or when we've sent a ticket through, instantaneous change. We've come back on. We've been really well supported by them.
That's awesome.
They are really, really good. The customer service is second to none. So please, please, please support UK2 because they support us. And that's the key fact. You know, if you want to support the British Tech Network, we provide you with virtually no adverts during the course of the programme. So support the people that allow us to do virtually no adverts like UK2. And also send us some dosh through from patreon.com/British Tech Network. because if you go there, just go to britishtennetwork.com/Patreon as well, that gets to the same place. The $10, $15, $20 that are sent through by people makes all the difference to us. It gets lights for Righty, it gets microphones for camps, it gets lighting here in the studio. It supports us immensely. There's lots of people that do it, so please, please, please join that throng and give us a little bit of support. We'll stay advert-free if you can help us. And if you have got a business that you want to advertise, then give us a shout, because you know, you're hitting 25,000 people a week if you're talking about the Mac Show, and 15,000 people a week if you're talking about the Big Show. It's well worth doing. Please, please, please support us if you possibly can. It's time for the cool thing. This is the best bit of the whole week. I love this because it cost me an absolute frigging fortune. if anyone's got anything for Amazon that's got Prime on it, you're banned from talking about it. Otherwise, I'll instantly hang up the call. Rich, your Blue Dio microphones have come up, or earpieces have come up no end over the last few weeks. And they've been coming up in the Slack room as well, which is a pain in the ass. But you've had a bit of a problem with the Slack room, haven't you, Rich?
Just a little bit. I tried to sign into it today, and Slack decided they would try to push over 500 notifications to me all in one go.
Well, now, the interesting thing is that Slack has got, if you want a free account on Slack, you've only got 10,000 messages, and then it starts to delete everything that you've got thereafter. And yeah, we've crossed well over 10,000 messages. If you want to get into the Slack room, go to, send us an email to britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. Title it Slack Room. Please let me into the Slack room, Ewan, and I'll let you in the Slack room and we'll have a chit-chat about everything you like. But actually, I've got to say, I don't really go on Twitter that often anymore, because where it's at is the Slack room. It really is the Slack room. There's tremendous influx of people. We've got like 120 people in there at the moment, and it's constant chitter-chatter of stuff. And we've also got three Apple geniuses in there, so if you've got an Apple product, the chances are you're going to get a support in there that you get that you wouldn't get if you went to the Genius Bar. So
yeah, it's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome. Anyway, so Rich, cool thing. It's not the Pebble watch by the sounds, though.
For me blog and for YouTube, I'm going back to wearing me Pebble again for a month, so that's an interesting experiment. That was going off like some sort of demented sex toy during that debacle. So
sweet.
I knew Jeff would like that one.
No, Jeff is sitting there going, "What is your favourite demented sex toy, Richard?"
Yeah, because there's so many. Is there something I need to be picking up off Amazon?
I'll tell you later. Right, I'm just trying to get the link so I can put it in the chat. Thingy mid-ink there.
Sorry, just before you carry on, Horse in the chat was saying, what blue Dio headphones? So if you've got a link for that as well, though, put that in. There's a good chat.
So the one I was going to talk about today is the other watch that I got since I got me Pebble, which was the, I'll show it up there, the Asus ZenWatch 2, which is an Android Wear smartwatch. But The cool thing, one of the reasons I'm showing this off today, is this is now one of the first Android Wear watches. There's only this and the Huawei watch that have had their speakers activated today. So you can now do voice calls on this as well. I really like it. It's Android Wear. What can you say? You either like Android Wear or you don't. But there's very little missing from this. It performs well. And it's a ridiculous price of £150. Wow. So if you want to get into having a smartwatch, this is a really low-cost way of doing it. And I think it's really, really nice. It has got a bit of a fat bezel. Like, you know, that's not out of choice. But you can't see it on here. You can see it on my YouTube video a bit better. Plug. The bezel's actually got a little bit of a nice sort of pattern on it. It's like little rays coming away from the center, so it's not completely black and plain. It's just when the light hits it, it's quite nice, actually. So there you go. That's £150. And the other thing I wanted to show off, just because I got this out of my bookcase today to show off to somebody else, If nobody's ever come across this before, Coffee Gives Me Superpowers. Absolutely brilliant book. I'm sure there's lots of people out there who like coffee. It is absolutely...
Are you offering that as a doctor?
What's that?
Caffeine.
Offering caffeine?
Are you offering that book saying that as a doctor I recommend this book?
No.
Think carefully.
I'm saying as somebody who loves a cup of coffee, I recommend this
book. As your personal spokesperson, yes, yes, that's exactly what he's saying.
Okay, good. There's nothing wrong with everything in moderation, wouldn't you say, Doc?
Absolutely. Well, coffee is...
Caffeine, alcohol...
Has got some good health...
Diuretics. To it.
But you only need sort of a cup or two a day, not be caning it all day long, and certainly don't drink it after midday. So there you go.
Is that the kind of cut-off now, midday?
They say it's active. It can be active in your body for up to 12 hours. So if you say midday, then at least it's getting pretty low in your system by the time you're getting to bed.
You've at least got a shout of a decent night's sleep.
Exactly. Okay.
No, that's good. Actually, there's a good point there actually, because it's not by process or by thought, but pretty much I drink my coffees in the morning, and after lunchtime I'm just not interested.
Yeah. Well, I think, if I remember rightly, I think there's a thing in here about what is the, by science, what is the optimal time of day to drink your coffee according to your circadian rhythm. Oh, there you go.
It just fell open at the right day.
There you go. That's
well, the isn't that lucky?
It gives you a little diagram showing you which bits of the day are good for drinking coffee according to what your cortisol levels are doing. So...
And if you know that circadian rhythm starts with a C, not an S, this is the book for you.
Yeah. No, I must say, it's not. You don't have to be a scientist to read this at all. It's really good fun to read. And the drawings, if anyone's ever read anything from oatmeal.com, it's the same illustrator who does the oatmeal. So very good book. And it's only like £7 or £8 or something like that.
Dr. Sexy is a Freud.
That's not the right spelling. That just says fraud.
No, I just thought I'd give it the benefit of the doubt. You shouldn't have said that. It's Muller, don't click on his links. Jeffrey Gamet, I dread to think what you've got for us, but I'm sure it's going to be bloody good.
It's okay, this isn't a sex toy, but if you wanted to use this for whatever your fun sex things are, you totally could. And it's the newest lens system from Oloclip. And so it comes with this little lanyard. So you
You're saying I've got a tiny dick?
Well, you know, whatever. I'm not judging.
Okay.
So it's a lens that has a 2X telephoto, and then it also has a wide-angle lens, and it's designed so that you can do action shots with it. So that... Action shots.
Gamet, stop feeding me frigging lines. Move on.
So anyhow, it just slides over your iPhone like this, and you know, you can flip it around, and that way you have access to either lens. And it's set up so that it lines up with the front-facing camera and rear-facing camera at the same time. So if you wanted to use, say, the telephoto lens with the front-facing camera, no problem. You can do that. And, yeah, so...
Now, I have to say that we spent a lot of time talking to Jonathan at Macworld when we went out in 2014. And Jonathan is a lovely, lovely, genuine bloke. And you look at Oloclip and you think, okay, it's a Kickstarter that's gone mental and they've turned into a massive corporate entity that doesn't give a toss about its users and that kind of stuff. I can tell you that they absolutely aren't. They are a wonderful firm with a wonderful group of people who really do care and try very, very hard.
They're really nice people. I've met them at many shows. And I see them often enough that when I show up at a conference or trade show, whatever, and they're there, I get hugs.
Well, so when you next talk to Jonathan, please tell him that we get no frigging love here at the British Tech Network from the idiots that they've appointed as their PR firm in the UK.
Oh, that's bad.
It is serious. I'm not joking now. Seriously, when we went and saw Jonathan, Jonathan was like brilliant, and they were chucking us out samples left, right, and centre for all of the iPads that we had and that kind of stuff. And we got back to the UK. He said, "Here's the connection in the UK. Give this person a call." Got in touch with that person. They don't give a stuff about us. We cannot get a reply out of them no matter what we do. And we certainly get no review units. So next time you get a chance to talk to Jonathan, say, Ewan from Bish Network, remember him? He gets no love.
Oh, I'm betting Jonathan's not going to be happy to hear that.
Yeah, you tell him, because I said that, because we get no love. We get no review units, and we would pump the crap out of Oloclip, because they're a really lovely, lovely bunch of people.
The products are awesome. And this is really cool. It's when I say it's for action shots, or they call it their active lens. And the idea is they design something that's good for outdoor use, for motion shots, and gives you the two lenses that, at least as a mobile phone user, you're most likely to want when you're running around and playing outdoors and want to get cool shots.
Excellent.
And I'll talk with the Oloclip people for you.
Because, talk to Jonathan, because he would be unhappy to find out that we were getting no love, but we are getting no love.
I'll let him know.
Thanks, mate. We're going to have 10 of those to give away next month, by the way.
Probably.
Camps. What have you got for us, dude?
My pick this week, it's an iOS game. Does not commute. I don't think this has ever been mentioned before. It's one that one of the guys at work mentioned to me this week.
It's a pain in the ass game.
It is a pain in the ass game. But I got numb legs on the toilet this week playing this game, playing in this pain in the ass game. It's a free game. Free in that, so long as you don't want to save where you are in the game, and you can basically just play through a few rounds. It's free, so it's a bit of a try before you buy. If you want the full game, it allows you to save your checkpoints. It's about $2.29, I think, if I remember right, in the UK App Store. It's frustrating. It's annoying. But it's quite a good laugh. The whole pretense of the game is, you start with a car, you've got to get a car and a B, picking up some additional time points as you go around. And when you get to point B, a new car arrives. You start in the new car, you do the same thing, need to get to point B. Meanwhile, car number one is still trotting around the little track, the neighbourhood, or whatever the particular scene is. You get car two to point B, and car three starts. And you've got car one and two, and you're navigating car three now. It's frustrating as hell, but quite a good laugh, and for free. It's past a couple of hours this week for me.
Excellent, mate. Good choice. I've played it myself, and I stopped playing it because I got so pissed off with it. It's frigging annoying beyond belief. But good.
Yeah, good laugh.
Righty, what have you got for us, dude?
Well, I've been really enjoying it. I'll put it in the chat room now. All the text-based games that are coming back to iOS, so all the kind of left-right, do this, do that, that we used to enjoy on the old BBC Micros and stuff at school.
I really
enjoyed a game called The Dark Room. And it's really interesting to see how these text-based games are really quite atmospheric, because it's all text-based and your imagination takes you where you want to go. And you really can't, when we were young, we had to imagine the scenes and the places we were going and all that sort of stuff. And The Dark Room is really weird. It's really atmospheric. It's kind of a bit of a horror story, and you have to do certain tasks and all that sort of thing. But the great thing I've got is it will normally cost you 79 pence in the UK, but if you follow the link that I've put in the chat room, that will redeem you a code you can put in the iTunes store, and it'll give it to you for free.
Hurrah!
Well, hey.
Nice.
What's the code?
Well, you got to click on the link and it generates the code for you.
Oh, right.
Different code for everyone else.
So I've put in here, get free game. And as soon as you click that, you get the code. Got you. Excellent. IGN.com/prime/promo/a-dark-room-free for the audio listeners. There you go. If you want to know any of the links that we've got here during the whole show, then go to britishnetwork.com/chat and you'll see for the 4th of February, you'll see a whole calendar that pops up before you. But all you're going to do is click on 4th of February and you'll see all of the links for everything that's been posted for the big show and the back show during the course of this evening. And you can click on those and get whatever you want. Don't click anything that Muller's posted.
Oh, God's sake.
Michael Thing, and I've got to say this with a bit of reservation, is Michael Thing is the Mophie Juice Pack for the iPhone 6 Plus. I bought this in the on the iPhone store, and it or in the Apple store, and it was £100. And for what it does, it's great. It does a fantastic job. My only caveat is, why would you pay for the license for this bit here on the inside of the charger to go into your iPhone and not pay for this bit of the Lightning connector to go out so you can get data out as well?
Holy
as.
Crap! What were they thinking? Oh.
You can't get data when you plug your cable through the...
There is zero data. No data comes out of this thing at all. You have to plug the phone in to get the data out. You cannot plug the Mophie Juice Pack in to get the data out into your Apple device. And I've got to say, when you've paid for the license for this bit, why wouldn't you pay for the license for this bit? And there's an interesting issue here, because I've had this conversation with Muller in the past, because he's got a really great Anker product that does exactly the same thing. It extra powers his iPhone 6 Plus. But my point would be that I want to be able to take the data off, and I want all of the stuff that goes along with the extra power that I can get from this device. And if you've paid for connections to the device, why would you not pay for connections to from the device? And the only thing I say is that Apple must be taking the piss, because I can't think of another reason why you wouldn't do that. Why would you not put a Lightning connector on the bottom of this when you've got it on the inside and you paid the license for the connections? It must double the charge. That's all I can think. If you're happy that the fact you've got to shove a micro USB into this thing and not a Lightning port, and you will not get your data out of it, you have to disconnect your phone to get it out, it is really light. It is exceptionally light. I am really, really impressed with how much battery I get out of this for how little it actually weighs. But I'm just disappointed that I'm not connecting it via Lightning, and it means that I've taken the Lightning cable from my bedside table and I've had to put a micro USB in instead to charge it overnight when I go to sleep at night. There's no logic to it. And I went and bought it from an Apple store, and I said to the guy in the Apple store, why on earth wouldn't they do that? He went, I've thought exactly the same thing myself. Apple have no idea why they've done it. So I've got one, says Horse, that does data and charge but won't pass audio to the Belkin car radio transmitter. I can't read out what Muller's typed, and there you go, that's enough. I want a lightning-to-lightning external battery for the iPhone 6 Plus, please, Apple. And they brought out their own, and you go, oh, why don't you buy their own? I would have done, but they only do the 6, they don't do the 6 Plus. Duh.
Mm-hmm.
Where can we get a hold of you, Mr. Harkness? Tomorrow, diagnosing patients in witch practice.
So the best place you can get a hold of me is human-v2.com and on Twitter at Rich Harkness. That's where you'll find most of my stuff. I tend to link it there as well.
And you've been published recently in some decent publications, have you not?
I don't know about recently, but...
About three weeks ago.
3 weeks?
About 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago.
Mac format on it, Rich?
Mac format published you.
No.
Yeah, they did.
That's the first I know about it.
Did you not get the check?
No. Yeah, you should send them a bill.
No, you were published on something about ergonomics, I think, which you're probably wholly unqualified to talk about, but never mind.
I'm going to have to look this up now because I have no knowledge of this whatsoever.
Go on, Camps, you know what it is, don't you?
I'm just looking for it now. I'm absolutely sure it was in the Slack room. Sure there was a picture in the Slack room.
Yeah.
I saw it.
Dr. Rich was posted and published.
Yeah. I can't think who put it in.
I thought it was Mac format. I have to say now you said it.
I did do an article for, let's have a think, God, I keep forgetting the name of it all the time. Stuff.
Well, it might be stuff.
Yeah,
I did an article for Stuff, and that was to do with wearables, so and tracking your health and stuff like that. Yeah, I got paid for that.
Oh, good man.
I thought it was space.
Excellent.
Jeffrey Gamet, who gets paid for going on every podcast he ever goes on, of course. Where can we get hold of you?
Wait, I get paid?
No.
Sweet. Jesus Christ. Yeah, you can find me over at macobserver.com, and you can find me on Twitter and what's the picture one? Instagram. I'm Jay Gamet on both of those.
Tumblr.
yeah. I just started doing Peach also, which is kind of weird and different. And you can find me on like every podcast. So,
yeah, if there's a podcast on the internet, Jeff Gamet's on it.
Yeah, it's how I roll. It's how I validate myself.
Horse in the chat room is complaining that he still needs to know the Blue Dio link, Dr. Rich Harkness, which I've put in the link in the chat room.
I was just about to do it.
Blue Dio shooting wireless Bluetooth headphones, black, £20. And the thing that's nice about these, and I've got to say this is the one thing that separates these Bluetooth headphones from every other Bluetooth headphones that you possibly get, is that when the battery runs out, all you've got to do is plug mail-to-mail in with your device, and it works just fine. Whereas every other device that you've got that runs on Bluetooth, as soon as it runs out, it goes, sod off, and you get nothing from it. Blue Dio headphones, love them to bits. They're over-ear, so they're no good for running, and unless you want to get sweaty, of course, but that's a different thing.
And run over.
Yeah, and but the quality is excellent, really, really good. If you're listening to music, they're spot on, but if you're listening to audio, they're a bit bassy, I have to say. But... Yeah. But for music, top job. You can't. It's the best £20 you can possibly spend. Most definitely. Camps, where are you?
Camping UK on Twitter, in the Slack room, and every couple of weeks on the big show.
The chat room's going. Hang on, Jeff can be found in Germany in Patrice's house. You got anything you want to confess to there, Jeff? No?
If I tell you everything that happens in my life, we'll lose the mystery in our relationship.
Okay. You and Patrice, I hope you're very happy. Thanks, mate.
I hope we're very happy too, apparently.
Excellent. And last but by no means least, our correspondent from the East, the man who lives in the happiest place there is to be an employee on Earth. And who has a hot boss. It's Righty Boy.
You'll find me at forums on Twitter in the Slack room. And watching on Jabber now, I've watched all that on Jabber instead of the live feed. I really enjoyed that.
Jabber. Well, Jabber's... So if you're interested, we've got Jabber. Ryan is one of our listeners, and he works for Jabber. And he suggested that we try doing Jabber as part of a thing to expand the network and expand them and everything. And bit of vomit vision. There we go. Sorry, I do apologise if you're watching on Jabber. But there we go. There's me. I'm on Jabber right now, just to my right. You can see me holding it off the camera. And next week... we'll hopefully have our audio issue sorted out where you can hear everyone else on the feed. But as soon as that happens, there's Muller. Where's Muller? He's over there somewhere. There we go. Muller. There we go. And we'll have all of the violent movements of the camera sorted out and that kind of stuff. And next week we'll broadcast on Jabber. The whole show will be on there, including the audio from all of the panellists. And you can listen if you're watching on Jabber.
Jabber.
But we need to sort the audio out because I can't get it to work. So, Ryan, you're on that, mate, right? Okay. There we go. You won't get a better view. I've got to say, that's the only thing to say, is you won't get a better view than what you've currently got, which is like a picture of my screen in the back of my head, because there's no other way of doing that. We can't broadcast to it as a service, but we can certainly give you all the audio, so there you go. Excellent. Manager ranking, have we done Righty?
Yep.
Okay, no, don't worry. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can get the network on at British Tech. You can follow us on Tumblr at jeffsextoys.com. And we'll be back again next week on Thursday night for the big show and the Matt show, following on from each other, 7 p.m. till Christ knows when we stop after the big show. Bye. Thanks for listening.